Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this, what date is today? 23rd day of July, 2018. And I am delighted to have as a returning guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper, who is founder and president from, or should I say founder and president of, From His Fullness Ministries. He is also the former senior minister of Seventh Reformed Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And today we are going to be discussing a Reformed outreach to the unchurched, introducing the international outreach publication The Way, or El Camino in Spanish. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper.
Oh, thank you very much, Chris. Glad to be with you today, and thank you very much for having me.
And for the sake of refreshing the memories of our listeners, if you could tell us a little bit about your background, where you were born and raised, where you came to the faith of Jesus Christ, specifically the Reformed faith, and how you eventually made your way to Grand Rapids, Michigan in the United States.
Oh, thank you, Chris. Well, I'm from Wales. And I grew up in a Christian family, and I thank God for that. My father was a minister in the Presbyterian Church in Wales, and he ministered for 20 years in Pembrokeshire, which is the southwest corner of Wales, facing Ireland. He was a staunch defender of the faith, and he was led of the Lord, really, to break away from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. He was Wales. He was the first evangelical minister in his congregation for 90 years.
And for how many years?
90.
Wow.
Yeah, the ravages of liberalism from the 19th century coming over from Germany, influencing Welsh candidates for the ministry, led to a great depletion in the Presbyterian Church in Wales. And in order to have the freedom to preach the gospel, he ended up leading out of the denomination those who'd come to faith and planted a church there, which is still going nearly 50 years later. So that was my background, familiar with the Reformed faith, but more aware of the battles between conservatism and liberalism. And then I went to study at the Free Church of Scotland in Edinburgh, and there was taught very well, and eventually came across to America, and one thing led to another, and in 2007 I came to be minister of Seventh Reformed Church in Grand Rapids, and was there for 10 years.
Great. Well, praise God. I may have asked you this before, but I just can't remember the answer. My former pastor here at Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, David Campbell, although he was a Reformed Baptist, was educated at the Free Church of Scotland Seminary, and I was just curious if you knew him.
Yes, I've known David. I heard about him when I went to the college. He was there before me, and then had the privilege of preaching at his congregation in Darlington in the north of England. I believe that was after he had moved on to Carlisle. But he's a sweet brother, and remember him well, and thank God for his ministry.
Great, and of course, you're probably aware now he is pastoring the North Preston Evangelical Church in England.
I heard he'd returned, and I pray that God would really bless him there and use him.
Yes, I'm looking forward to his return as my guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, hopefully in the near future.
Great.
And if you happen to talk to him before I do, please send him my regards.
Oh, we'll certainly do so.
And tell us now about From His Fullness Ministries.
Yes, well, maybe I ought to step back and speak about my conversion. You asked me about
that. Oh, yes, yes.
That as well, and I think, you know, men down the centuries have tried to preach the gospel without actually knowing the gospel, so I deem it important for your listeners to know a little bit about how I came to the faith. And, you know, I grew up in a Christian household, but that didn't make me a Christian. And my parents were very concerned to teach me, from a Presbyterian background, both the privileges of being a covenant child, but also the responsibilities. And so when I was 8 years of age, I was pondering what the Bible meant to believe. And I thought, well, I don't deny anything in the scriptures, so perhaps I am a Christian after all. And tried to live that out for 7 years and found out that that doesn't work. You don't have the power to live a godly life, and you don't have the desire to do so either. And so by the time I came to the age of 15, I came to realize that unless I came clean about my false profession of faith, the Lord wouldn't free me to seek him for himself. And so I remember one Sunday lunchtime, my father taking me to the bedroom and saying, I always rejoice that 25% of my children know the Lord, but I have to say I'm struggling to see the evidence of your conversion. And then he asked me a very poignant question, which I've admired ever since. Do you love Christ? Had he asked me, are you a Christian? I could have fudged the answer. But when he asked me, do you love Christ? He got right to the heart of the issue. And I saw that as a gift from God, to be able to say, no, I don't. And I saw the color in his face drain. And he thanked me for being honest. And we didn't speak about it from that point, but for me, it was an opportunity then to go and seek the Lord from scratch and to ask him what it is to believe the gospel. It's more than head knowledge, so what is it? And over the years, I've learned that it includes conviction of sin and also a trust, a full resting upon Christ and his merits alone, his death alone for salvation. And so at the age of 15, that was just about 3 months later, I came to know the Lord. And I thank God that he's never let me down. He's never let me go. I've let him down, let him go on times, but he's been faithful even when I've been faithless. I praise him for that and seek now to look forward, forgetting those things that are behind, pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Well, now let us know something about From His Fullness Ministries.
Yeah, gladly so. I was minister at Seventh Reformed Church in Grand Rapids for 10 years, and it was a blessing and a privilege to minister there. But as many of your listeners will know, Grand Rapids is a city of churches.
A lot of Reformed churches out there, too.
yeah, that's right. But I became more and more burdened over the years for the global church, and having traveled to places like Zambia and since then Ethiopia.
Do you know my friend Dr. Conrad Mbewe out in Zambia?
Yes, I first met him as a young man in Lusaka Airport on my first preaching trip there in 1993. Like many of us who have reached middle age, half the man he is now. Weight-wise, but not theologically.
Right. Well, I wouldn't want to give people the impression that he is obese or anything. He seems like he's in good health.
Yes, and we're thankful for that. We were both young men at the time, and there was a group of young men came to pick me up from the airport, and he kindly hosted me at his home one evening, met his good wife too, and have kept in touch with him from time to time, had him in the home here in Grand Rapids, and thankful very much for him and for the Reformed movement there in Zambia. But that was
well. If you want to rekindle the friendship, I urge you to come with me this January to the G3 conference in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta, because he is one of the speakers there.
Oh, great, great, great! Well, thank you for the invitation. We'll see what's on the calendar.
Great, and I would strongly urge you to register for an exhibitor's booth for from His Fullness Ministries. I am going to be manning for the third year in a row an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio at the G3 conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And it is a Reformed conference, and they are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people this January, so I would strongly urge you to register for a booth, as I will be doing. My booths at this conference have proven to be very fruitful and beneficial to me and my ministry.
Oh, good. Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate the heads up. And, yes, we're keen to make friendships. We're keen to build partnerships, because we can't reach out to the global church on our own. So, and we're not intending to either. But visits to Africa were one influence. Preaching and teaching throughout Southeast Asia were another. And reading up and learning that there's one minister to 230, that's the ratio in America, and one minister to 450,000 in the rest of the world.
Wow.
And so I thought, well, here I am in a city of churches, and many people called of God could do the work I'm doing, but God has given me a heart and exposure to other parts of the world, and so why not seek the Lord as to what to do? And he gave the opportunity to found this ministry, and I'm so thankful for those who have enabled us to do so. And so now we partner with different organizations to go to different countries, preaching and teaching. But I'm also mindful not only of those parts of the world where God is converting people in the thousands who need teaching and training, specifically pastors who can't afford to come to the West, but also mindful of places like Europe, where they've had a great heritage, but the cause of the gospel has fallen on hard times. There are faithful people, but many of them discouraged, and we're seeking to build the foundation from scratch. So on the one hand, we're trying to deepen the faith of those who are coming in their droves to Christ, but on the other hand, trying to help and encourage the church in Europe and North America, too, to reach out to their communities. We've lost so much ground in some senses, but the opportunity and the freedom is still there to start seeking more earnestly the unreached and the unchurched.
Praise God. Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address if they would like to join us on the air with a question of their own. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, now let us know about the publication, The Way, that you wanted to highlight today.
Well, that goes back to my time in Wales, really. And my father was very much what I might call a spiritual entrepreneur. He was always thinking through new ideas for spreading the gospel and for being proactive in that regard. And in the church in which I grew up, first of all in South Wales, he sent around the villages connected an outreach magazine and was very proactive in getting into the community and was a marvelous a rural pastor. And then in 1982, God called him to a town called Holywell in North Wales, which was a very Roman Catholic town. It was the spillover from Liverpool. They have a shrine there. It's called the Lewards of Wales. And so he was very concerned about the Catholic population in the town, of about 6,000 or 7,000. And so he started producing another a publication called the Holywell Herald. And it was a great tribute, really, to the people of the congregation. It went to 3,000 homes, and we split up the town, and the congregation itself delivered the Holywell Herald to people's homes. Now, they weren't necessarily engaging them on the doorstep with the gospel, but they wanted the Hollywell Herald to get to people's homes. And I don't know for how long he did that. He was minister of the church for 4.5 years before retiring with multiple sclerosis. But it really put the church on the map in the town. And even though people weren't necessarily converted, they started speaking about the gospel. They started speaking about the church. They knew where the church was. And it really heightened the profile of the church and really made the communication of the gospel easier in that sense, because people knew what the church stood for. And so when I came to Seventh Reformed Church, I mean, a lot of my time was spent initially on looking at how the church operates and seeking to make the church more relevant in terms of its culture for the 21st century. But towards the end of my time there, after we'd put in place a mission statement and a vision statement, we looked at how we were operating. And one of the things we noticed was that although we had a mission to reach the community around the church, we were publishing each month a church magazine, which was very well done, is very well done, for the church members, but our practice was not reflecting the emphases of our mission and our vision. And so what we did was to alternate the publications. And so the church magazine, The Voice, went out to the congregation 1 month, and then The Way went out to the community the next month. And so when I completed my time at the church, I felt a sense of God's help in putting that together. And I thought, well, this is something that From His Fullness Ministries can do for free for the churches and promote it to help reform churches be more outward-looking and engaging their communities. Because not every congregation has either the time or the personnel to be able to do this, but this is something that we can do, led of the Lord, as a gift to the church. And so that's what we've started doing. It's a free 4-page publication that goes out four times a year, and we're encouraging individuals, churches, and ministries to adopt it, and they can customize their own copies for their own ministries and send it out. And I hope that will help churches engage their communities in a meaningful way.
Now, is this actually on paper, or is it an internet publication?
Well, what we've tried to do is give various options. Churches have different finances, different personnel. So what I do is I put together what I call the master copy. And on the first page is an article of contemporary relevance. So the first issue was about the World Cup, which 3.2 billion people participated in watching in 2014, anyway.
And about 4 from the United States.
Well, actually, with all the Hispanics coming in, there's a lot more interest in the World Cup in America than before. But and then the second page jumps off from the first page and deals with the topic biblically. The third page has a testimony relevant to what's gone in the first two pages. And then the third page really has a prayer on the back for the readers, plus a panel whereby churches, ministries, individuals can upload their own information, what's going on in their church, what's going on in their ministry. So on the one hand, a church can send out The Way as a hard copy, and I can speak about how that's done, but I think most churches or ministries would probably upload it onto their website or send it out by email distribution, which would be a cheaper way to do it.
Great. Well, now, before I forget, since I do have so many friends and brethren and mentors who are members and leaders in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church denomination, I'd like to know something about the congregation where you are now a member.
Oh, well, I go to Little Farms Chapel Orthodox Presbyterian Church, which is a little bit out in the country from Grand Rapids. But it's a wonderful congregation, and being truly blessed under the ministry of Pastor Bob Van Manen, who expounds the scriptures faithfully each week. So there's a congregation, probably 200-300 people, and we're privileged to be a part of that. And they've been very supportive of From His Fullness Ministries, and thankful for the affinity we have with them in terms of the gospel, in terms of the Reformed faith. And that's where we've landed since completing our ministry at Seventh Reformed Church.
By the way, I don't know if you have any contact with John R. DeWitt, who was at one time, as you know, the pastor at Seventh Reformed. I've lost touch with him, and I'd love to interview him if you have any way of contacting him.
Oh, well, I still have an email address and can certainly promote that.
Great. I appreciate that. Well, we do have a couple of emails here from listeners who would like to ask you questions. Let's see here. The first questioner is RJ from White Plains, New York, who wants you to compare and contrast your Christian experience between Wales and the United States.
Well, thank you very much, RJ. That's a very good question.
And while you're at it, you might as well expand that to the United Kingdom, so we get more of a broad understanding of what your response might be.
Yes, although I have to say it's nice for somebody to identify Wales.
Yes.
England. So well done, RJ. Well, I grew up in Wales, and I've lived in England, I've lived in Scotland, and I've ministered in Northern Ireland, so I have a taste of all four parts of the United Kingdom. But one of the things we grew up hearing in the United Kingdom is if it's come from America, it must be bad. And I think the reason for that is because when you're in Britain and you see a lot of American TV, it's the East Coast or the West Coast. You know, Jerry Springer and people hanging out their dirty washing on the line on TV.
That's actually kind of interesting that the folks in the UK would have that impression, because as a young kid, I used to watch BBC television, the specific shows that the American PBS, public broadcasting systems, would air. One of them became my favorite television program as a child through my teens and 20s, Monty Python's Flying Circus. Now, now that I'm a Christian, I don't know how much of that show I would watch, because you had full-blown nudity on that show, whereas that would never happen in those days. In fact, not even today in American television. So it's interesting to me that those in the UK would look upon America with a frowned face in those regards.
well, it may be more a Christian impression, but what I found was, what I found when I came to the United States was a very different picture than what I gained from being in Britain, because you've got the whole of the middle states, which are far more Christianized, if I may say that,
right,
than the United Kingdom these days. And so living in the United States now 20 years, invariably, when you see something from British TV, you know, you come to the conclusion if it's come from Britain, it may well be bad. Now, there's an awful lot of good stuff that comes over, but I'm thinking of some of the rock music, some of the ideas. And so I see things from both sides. But one of the things that's interesting is that within the course of my lifetime, there's been such a change of attitude towards the church in Britain. And living in America now, it's almost like deja vu of the same thing happening in a different period of my life, whereby the church had some social kudos, and then society turns against it. And I see that very much happening in America right now. So there are similarities, but there are big differences as well. But the overall point for me in trying to put together the way is that we communicate the old story in a way that's relevant to our times. And so you find Paul in the New Testament when he's speaking in the synagogue to those who have the Bible. He quotes in Acts 13 from Psalm 2, and he mentions the psalm. But then, of course, when he gets to Acts 17, he pulls out the point of contact, the statue to the, or the altar to the unknown God. So I think we have to know the times, as Paul calls us to communicate the gospel in a relevant, a reliable, but also a relevant way.
Well, thank you, RJ, in White Plains, New York. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about it in White Plains, New York, and beyond. Let's see here. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who asks, in Wales, and even in a broader sense, the United Kingdom, what is the state of ecumenism? Not only the negative kind, where you have evangelicals having full-blown ecumenical relationships with apostate liberals and Roman Catholics, but also the good kind that is based on the scripture, where sometimes we have, unfortunately, those who go to one extreme or the other when it comes to ecumenism. They are either full-blown ecumenists or they are isolationists and even perhaps bordering on being cultic in the way that they do not have any kind of cooperation or communication or fellowship with those outside their small sect or belief system according to a particular denomination or fellowship's confession or creed.
Well, that's another great question. I believe the name was BB. Well, again, I may be somewhat out of touch or dated for having lived across here for so long now, but I do get the sense that there is a movement towards greater unity in the gospel, visible unity in the gospel, than perhaps there was when I was growing up. What seems to have occurred is a reaction against false ecumenism and hyper-independency leading to some isolationism, and that is certainly still there. But it seems to me that as society has become more secular in Britain and more hostile to the gospel, that people are learning to stand shoulder to shoulder more than perhaps they did before. So you do find evangelical bodies emerging, which are promoting gospel unity. I think, for instance, of the independent churches and the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. I think I read recently that they have over 500 churches operating together. And I think in Scotland, the breakdown of commitment to the Westminster Confession is bringing into question how much the traditional rivalries or hostilities between different Presbyterian denominations actually stand up. That although their traditions in terms of denominational affiliation have their place, there's a greater need to stand together on the gospel with the combating of secularism in mind and humanism, and getting back to reaching out together and standing together and being seen to stand together. So I think there are encouraging signs that there is a biblical ecumenism developing, and the Lord bless it.
Amen. Yes, I am really enjoying seeing the commitment to biblical ecumenism that Dr. Joel Beakey is expressing through not only his own selections of places where he preaches, but even what he is publishing through Reformation Heritage Books. They are not only those from the Dutch Reformed wing of the Reformation, but they are now including a lot of Reformed Baptists, which I happen to be a part of. So I'm very delighted to see that kind of healthy ecumenism in a biblical sense there.
Good.
We have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity? Of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan today. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. His number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for his contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Welcome back, and that was another Orthodox Presbyterian that is no stranger to our listeners here at Iron Trippin' Zion Radio, my dear friend Pastor Bill Shishko, formerly the pastor of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Franklin Square, New York, now retired and running the Reformation Metro New York parachurch organization, where he is a domestic missionary, and that is under the oversight of the Orthodox Presbyterian denomination. And I urge you to listen and call in to Bill's show every Saturday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, WLIE540AM.com on the internet via live streaming, or if you live in the New York tri-state area, you could actually tune in on the radio on the AM dial at 540 AM every Saturday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. And in fact, it goes even to parts of Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts on the 540 AM dial during those hours of 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on 540 AM on the dial. But we are now back with Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper, founder and president of From His Fullness Ministries. We are discussing a Reformed outreach to the unchurched, introducing the international outreach publication The Way, or El Camino, in Spanish. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And the we have a question from CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, I know that the description of your topic today is reaching the unchurched. About what percentage of the world that you're aware of, or at least the areas where you have missionary outreach, are the citizens unchurched? And what kind of reaction do typically these types of folks have to the gospel? I believe in my own experience, an unchurched person might have less of a hard heart than a person who is entrenched in a specific religion that is false.
Hmm. Well, thank you very much, CJ. I think that's a very good question. I wouldn't know how much of the world is unchurched. I certainly think, broadly defined, the numbers of Christians in the world is very encouraging, but that doesn't mean to say that they are actually regenerate. But I certainly agree with you that the unchurched can be softer-hearted than the religious or the churched, because I think an element of pride enters into the churched, who may put their trust in the external rituals of the church but not have a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. And when, through the preaching of the gospel, you unearth that fact, then they either embrace the gospel or they really react against it. And that is the story of much of the New Testament, both in the gospels and in the book of Acts. So in some senses, my concern with the unchurched is to get beyond and to help Reform believers get beyond the four walls of their church premises and to reach those who have only heard of the gospel by hearsay, only know of the Christian church by hearsay, who may have had grandparents who were connected with the church but have lost contact with the church, or who never had contact with it. And so the way is aimed at the thinking unchurched, because we're told that the millennials growing up are very dissatisfied with cliched or potted answers to the serious questions that they have. And so I think we're trying to give serious answers to serious questions. And although the way is not a publication of apologetics, it nevertheless seeks to give a reasoned and an intelligent presentation of the gospel to those who are ready or willing to at least read about it. I mean, one of the elements of pushback I've had with regard to the way is, well, people won't read it. Well, I firmly believe as a Calvinist that God has a people out there who he's going to bring to himself. And that whether the way is well done or poorly done is a secondary issue to presenting the gospel and presenting it as winsomely and as intelligently and as attractively in terms of the presentation of the way as we can. And that there are those who, behind closed doors, will read something in a way in which they might not in public. They will hide behind a persona in public, but in private, they may well give the way more of a hearing than they would the gospel otherwise.
You know, you said something interesting about millennials that I first heard something similar maybe a year or two ago that surprised me. I had heard from at least two of my guests who do a lot of evangelical outreach to the millennials and some on college campuses and so on. And what surprised me was that the millennials, these individuals were not, were trying not to broad brush because, of course, there's exception to rules.
Sure.
But they were saying that a significant number of millennials are repulsed or repelled away from seeker-sensitive type churches. You might think that the opposite was true, but they seem to view that as a slick public relations marketing team's approach to really trick people into church and lure them in. They seem to see through that in great numbers and are turned away from that. And ironically, a good number of them are being drawn into more traditional worship services and so on. Have you, and I'm assuming since you said just a few minutes ago, you might have some agreement with that.
Yes, I think I do, and would go also to say, and this is part of the philosophy behind the way, and I trust it's biblical philosophy, that the millennial who's willing to give church a go, so as to speak, is not necessarily going to be convinced by the man at the front. They are very suspicious of authority figures. And so they want to know, do the people who are in the pews really believe what is being said from the pulpit, and are they really living out what is said? And so my thinking behind the way is that by engaging the people of God and not simply the minister or what they call in the continental Reformed tradition, the domine, by engaging the people of God in this outreach, we may help people see who are skeptical about church that there's an awful lot of authentic faith and Christian living in the pews, and the way can give them an opening to speak about their faith and to engage others with it so that the millennial can see on ground level that there is such a thing as authentic Christianity. But the way in isolation is going to accomplish very little. I think it needs to be followed up by hospitality. It needs to be followed up by open homes and a welcoming Christian community. So it's not churches and ministries or individuals sending out the way and then saying, I've done my bit. No, if there's follow-up, if there's a response to the way, then the ground needs to be prepared to receive people who are coming from all sorts of broken backgrounds, racially different backgrounds, and we need an atmosphere of grace and reception to minister to them.
We have a listener in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, Harrison, who says, I just tuned in, but I think it might be wise for your guest to distinguish and contrast his publication known as The Way from a major cult of the same name. Yes, I don't know if you're aware, there is a cult called The Way. I think it's even called The Way International. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm not. But when I thought of the title, and of course the title The Way was first used in terms of this publication by Seventh Reformed Church, I couldn't think when we started From His Fullness of a better title, to be honest. Remember in the first century that the Christians were called people of the way. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I thought this is a subtle or not so subtle way of saying, here we stand, Jesus is the way, and we're going to speak about him, promote him, and we're going to be unabashed about doing that. But no, I did not know that, but it's a similar situation we have with the rainbow. Are we going to give up all reference to the rainbow simply because the LGBTQ community has co-opted it?
Right.
Or are we going to do what Ken Ham is doing and say, no, we're going to take back the rainbow?
Right.
So that would be my response. We can't afford to give up the idea that Jesus is the way because some other group, be they heretical or whatever, I don't know, anything about them.
Right. And just like, you know, there are heretical groups using the terms free grace now.
Oh, right.
And, of course, that's a precious term that Calvinists have historically used. And you have many liberal mainline churches going under the name Reformed. It doesn't mean we're going to throw out that with because of the fact that the way it's being used in many circumstances. So I can completely understand what you're saying. But I guess it's...
Satan is a great mimic, you know, and it's a backhanded compliment if the Christian church is teaching something and he tries to mimic it. But I think we need to press on and speak authentically and in a biblically reliable way.
Yes, and the way actually has a sore spot with me because my nephew's wife, who passed away probably a decade or more ago. But there was a bit of a tug of war over her soul going on with a local Orthodox Presbyterian church up in Schenectady, New York, that I had referred my niece to, and they were being very wonderful and loving and reaching out to her. And there was also the local Way group that was trying to seduce her into their group, and it was kind of an uncomfortable situation. But thank you anyway for your comment there. Let's see, who was that?
Harrison.
Harrison in Mechanicsburg. You have a better memory than I do. And keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word there in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and beyond. Let's see here. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, I know that there's disagreement amongst Reformed churches and parachurch ministries and individuals on the use of labels. There are some people who would agree with our theology nearly 100%, if not completely, who prefer not to be known as Reformed or Calvinistic. What is the approach that the Way and your other ministry From His Fullness take in regard to this type of approach of the use or non-use of labels?
Well, I think that's also a very good question. I believe the caller was Arnie. Well, with regard to From His Fullness, I describe us as a Reformed ministry, but my because you have to have a doctrinal stance. and you have to say what you are. And so my own affiliation is to the scriptures as summarized by the Westminster Confession of Faith or the Three Forms of Unity. But I'm very much in this age of the opinion given by James Packer. I can't locate the source, but this is what I believe he said, that we are to be Bible Calvinists first before we're system Calvinists. And I would see myself very much as a Bible Calvinist, that the scriptures are our foundation, and we teach the scriptures, and the doctrine flows from that, rather than coming at the scriptures with a system and trying to prove at every point that the system is biblical. So, yes, From His Fullness Ministries is a reformed, and I trust a reforming ministry, but the emphasis is upon global outreach and global training of ministers for the work of the gospel in their indigenous context. And the same would go for the way. While the Reformed faith is implicit throughout the way, you won't find me talking about the Reformed faith. I'm not trying to make people reformed. I'm trying to call them to turn to God and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are evangelistic magazines out there that are not reformed, and they might come through the doorway, and it's pretty clear that they're not reformed, but they're trying to share the gospel. But I think there's a niche, and I don't want to use a market term, I'm just saying I think there's a gap in terms of ministry for churches and ministries to use a publication like The Way, which is reliable theologically, but is still trying to connect with people where they are at today. So the first issue dealt with the World Cup, and the next issue will deal with the global culture of death. And we're going to talk about how death, although it's meant to be a taboo, there is a demand for death today. And what does the Bible say about that in terms of Jesus being the light of the world? And then there's a testimony to go along with that of somebody who lived in difficult circumstances, but lived out the gospel because of the light that was found in Jesus Christ.
Now, did you say there's a demand for death, D-E-A-T-H?
Yes.
And if you could, when we return, I'd like you to pick up on that.
Yeah, sure.
And be more detailed with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to go to our midway break right now. And this is the part of the program where there is an elongated break because of the requirements of Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida. They require a longer break in between our two major segments because they air their own commercials and public service announcements. So please be patient as we have this elongated break and use this time to not only write questions for Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper, our guest today, on the issue of introducing the international outreach publication The Way, or El Camino, more specifically Reformed Outreach to the Unchurched. If you could send in a question to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. In fact, since Dr. Trumper has been a pastor, we will open up questions to pastoral issues, and I can understand if you want to remain anonymous for questions like that, we would welcome them. But the email again is chrisarnson@gmail.com. But also take this time during this elongated break to write down information provided by our advertisers. But don't go away. God willing, we're going to be right back with Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper right after these messages from our sponsors.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise, and then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit SolidRockRemodeling.com. That's SolidRockRemodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference. We know.
faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan today. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. His number is 1-800-669-4878, 1-800-669-4878, or email me for his contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie.com. 540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you could also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And please mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you mention this program and purchase at least $50, you will get free shipping on your purchase of $50 or more, and you'll also receive for free the book, The Holy Spirit by A.W. Pink. All absolutely free by mentioning Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and also by purchasing at least $50 worth of merchandise. Before we return to our discussion with Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper on a Reformed outreach to the unchurched, introducing the international outreach publication The Way or El Camino in Spanish, before we return to that discussion, we just have a few very important announcements to make. First of all, next week on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, what am I saying? Not next week. I'm talking about this week. This week on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, starting tomorrow, we have Dr. Stephen J. Wellum returning to the program, who is going to be discussing the book, The Son of God Incarnate, The Doctrine of Christ. That will be the part two of a discussion on that we already began last Tuesday. So there is such a depth of information in this book that we required at least a second interview on it, and we may have him back for several more interviews because it's I think it's nearly 500 pages long, this book, the Son of God Incarnate, The Doctrine of Christ. That's tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Then we have Nancy Snyder joining us on Wednesday to discuss The Gospel for Moving Targets, Helping Active Children Grow in Grace. And then on Thursday, we have John Sampson, pastor of the King's Chapel, or I think it's just called King's Chapel, in Peoria, Arizona. And he is going to be discussing Seven Deceptions of the Charismatic Movement. That's this Thursday. And then on Friday, we have Dr. Morris Roberts of the Banner of Truth returning to the Iron Sharpens Iron program. And I just learned that we have our guest is got cut off. So I'm going to ask him to call back. Hopefully we have Dr. Trumper back on the line. Are you there, Dr. Trumper?
Yes, I am.
Okay. We just have to continue making a couple of announcements here. As I was saying, we have Morris Roberts, the former editor of Banner of Truth magazine, joining us this Friday on the program. That's July 27th. So I hope that you continue listening all week long because of the fact that we have these excellent guests on the broadcast. Now we have also coming up August 2nd through the 4th, We want you to know about the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Actually, I'm sorry. That's a different event that I'll tell you about in a second. The event that's August 2nd through the 4th is the Fellowship Conference New England, and that's being held at the Deering Center Community Church in Portland, Maine. And the speakers at that include Tim Conway, Mac Tomlinson, Jesse Barrington, and Nate Pickowitz. And if you'd like more information on registering for this conference, go to fellowshipconferencenewengland.com, fellowshipconferencenewengland.com. And then, coming up in November, the event that I was just starting to tell you about, the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. This year, it will be on the theme, The Glory of the Cross. Speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. If you'd like to register for this event, which will be held at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, November 9th and the 10th, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. Then, coming up in January, I mentioned it at the beginning of the program today, but the G3 conference, I look forward to this conference like a little kid on Christmas. The G3 conference, I will be manning my third exhibitor's booth at the G3 conference there in College Park, Georgia. And this January, the theme is the mission of God. And this is going to be a tremendous lineup. Once again, the speakers include Paul Washer, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, who I mentioned before, John Piper. We have Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, the ministry of John MacArthur. We have Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio. We have Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. And the list goes on and on and on. It's a very long list of speakers. If you care to join me at the G3 conference, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And I urge you not only to register for attendance, but if you have a ministry or a parachurch organization or a business where you want to be present in this crowd of 4,000 to 5,000 people, I would strongly urge you to go to g3conference.com and register for an exhibitor's booth as well. Please always tell anybody that you're responding to, as far as the ads you hear on this program, please tell them all that you heard about these ads from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And now comes to the least favorite portion of the show. If you want this show to remain on the air, I've got to beg you for money, and I hate doing it, but it's got to be done. If you love the show, you listen to it daily, if you share the MP3s with others, please consider donating to us so that we don't disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly through a debit or credit card. You can also send in a check via snail mail to the address that you will see on your screen by clicking support at ironsharpensironradio.com. And if you want to advertise with us, please send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com that says advertising in the subject line. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is not combative with the theology we express on this program. As long as you are compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign. Keep in mind, when it comes to donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, never siphon money away from the regular giving you're accustomed to your local church. And if you're not a member of a local church and you're not looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. Please email me if you need help finding a local church at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. I have lists of churches all over the world, and I've helped many in my audience find churches near them all over the world. So if you can't find one, let me know. But never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church, and never put your family in financial jeopardy, because providing for church and home are two commands of God. Providing for this radio show is not a command of God. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability financially to obey those two commands, then please help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air by giving as much as you can and as often as you can by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and click to donate now. We are now back with our discussion with Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper, and we are discussing Reformed Outreach to the Unchurched, introducing the international outreach publication The Way, or El Camino in Spanish. And if you'd like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And we do have a listener in Kinross, Scotland. We have Murray in Kinross, Scotland, who says, congratulations on a well-presented publication, which I am sure the Lord will bless. With the first issue of The Way featuring the World Cup and the follow-up to Consider Death, are you consciously addressing issues in The Way that can have a worldwide appeal rather than just in the U.S.? And his P.S. question is, perhaps you could remind us how Wales got on at the World Cup.
Well, thank you, Murray. Obviously, they didn't get to the World Cup, but did pretty well at the European Championships, I seem to recall, getting to the semi-final. But we do look forward to a day when England and Wales are fighting it out at the World Cup again. But thanks for your question, Murray. Wonderful question. Again, let me speak a little bit about the background of The Way. The idea initially was to send out the master copy that churches and ministries and individuals can customize for their own use. But I advertised it on Facebook and social media, and I had an astonishing response. I targeted, you know, in terms of the Facebook advertising, evangelicals, Protestants, Reformed churches, and amazingly, I got a response from Muslims, from Africa and Nepal, and different religions around the world. So quickly, I had then to construct or compile what I call the general copy, which isn't customized, which is more security conscious. But when I got those requests for The Way, it made me realize just how global The Way could become. So I think it was very providential that the World Cup was occurring right at the time that The Way was beginning. And that gave us a good avenue to start off with something global, but there's nothing more global than death either. So that's what we're dealing with the second issue, but I am conscious of trying to pick themes which are in the global news and not simply local or national news. The upcoming issue on death was really provoked by the celebrations in Ireland of the right to abort, and that made me think through just how impactful is the culture of death today. And so we deal with the fact that everybody dies. We deal with the fact that there is, in Michigan, what's called cryogenics, or people paying $28,000 to freeze their body in the hope that their ailments will be cured, they can be brought back to life. And then also we're dealing with suicide, the push for euthanasia, suicide bombing, and all these ways in which, and of course the great example of our day, abortion, 1.5 billion abortions since 1980 worldwide. So it's a global issue, and we'll be looking for more global issues to take into account that the readership is scattered across different nations.
Well, thank you, Murray, in Kinross, Scotland. Please continue listening to the program there and spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in Scotland and the UK and beyond. Well, as I requested, even though Murray brought it up in his own question, the issue about death, and you already obviously mentioned the various reasons why the issue on death was written, but if you could also now give us more detail in how you approach this subject.
Well, basically, as I've said, the template is the same each issue to date, and that is the point of contact on the first page. So,
What I meant was, obviously, you're going to be giving some kind of a rebuke to those wicked people involved in maintaining and promoting the infanticide industry
and that kind of thing. But what I mean is, what in your content are you going to be saying, or did you say, I should say, to approach this issue in regard to bringing people to repentance, you know, and so on?
Well, as I said, the first page seeks to draw people in, and this is relevant to all people. And so I start speaking about how sex as a taboo has really been replaced by death, but death as a taboo has spectacularly failed, on the one hand because we all die, and on the other hand because so many people are being put to death in one way or another. And so I just paint the picture, and at the end of the opening article I tend to give one statement or a biblical text, drawing them towards the gospel. And then if they open it up, then I give a sort of biblical review. What does the Bible say about issues of death? And the second page begins by saying, if you think this issue of the way is dark, then you're right. It's the reality as we find it today. And go into what the Bible says about the theme of darkness and the connection between darkness and sin, and the contrast that Jesus Christ brings as the light of the world, and how he himself spoke in John 10 that the devil, as the thief, comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And then at the end of the second page, I sort of give a teaser for the testimony that's coming. And this testimony, we're open to receiving testimonies of 600 words with a cover photo, a headshot of those who are in good standing in a church, who are ideally reformed, but who can speak of what God has done in their lives. And I wrote in this upcoming edition of The Way my father's testimony. He was somebody who was born and brought up in a Christian home. He made records as a young man. He was a head choir boy at Llandaff Cathedral in Cardiff. And he saw the hypocrisy of formalized religion. So by the time he was through his teens, he'd become an atheist. He was heading into the world. He went to drama college. There he met Anthony Hopkins. But he was converted in drama college. And how he eventually left the theater, became a minister, and then I talk about how he died, and how he died with hope, and how his confidence, based on Psalm 31, my times are in thy hands, basically saying John Wesley's words that our people die well is still true for those who are in Christ. And then on the final page, there's a prayer concerning the material that's in the way, encouraging people to pray for themselves that they may have a relationship with God. And then in the master copy, there's a spare panel whereby churches can upload what's happening in their church, and then they can send it out either by hard copy. And the directions for doing that are on our website, fromhisfulness.com. And they can, if that's too expensive, upload it to their own website or send it out in an email distribution.
Great. And what I'd like you to do now, before we go to our final break, I want to make sure that you have addressed or highlighted the specific areas of your ministry that you most want our audience to know about before we move on, because I don't want to keep taking listener questions and overlook some of the things that you perhaps might want to most highlight.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris. Specifically speaking about the way, I think I'd like to speak about how the way can help your church or your ministry, and just say that it enables churches to be more of a presence in their community. It raises the consciousness of the congregation of the importance of outreach, that it's not an option. It's something that should be a burning desire in our hearts. It offers the church a reformed source that is relevant, and we pray that people will be saved through it. But we also need people's help to make the world a viable resource for the church. And so I'm really asking people to engage their church leaderships about this opportunity. It's free to the church. It's free to a ministry. It's free to an individual. You can distribute your own copy. If you're seeking to send it out through a church, you'll probably need a coordinator to customize the back page with ministries, evangelistic ministries going on from your church. Certainly we're praying for additional translators to come forward. We have a marvelous young student, theological student, Alejandra Guayado, who's translating it into Spanish, and we're looking for translators into French. And I say French because we've had a lot of feedback from French-speaking Africans, but also Mandarin and many other languages. So, and also to be creating atmospheres in your church where those who come from the community are welcome, that they feel that they're not threatened when they come. And we'd also gladly receive testimonies of what God has been doing in individual lives to publish those in the way.
Great. Well, we're going to be taking our final break. It's going to be a much more brief break than the last one, but I don't want to interrupt Dr. Trumper in mid-sentence, so I'm going to take it right now. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper right after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states.
In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan today. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. His number is 1-800-669-4878, 1-800-669-4878, or email me for his contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember to continue to pray for the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, my dear friend Mike Gadosh, my very first pastor as a born-again believer in the 1980s, a man who's remained my dear friend through thick and thin all of these years since, and who has been diagnosed with some very serious, life-threatening heart problems that require a very complicated surgery. So please pray for him. Please pray for the decision he makes on whom will perform the surgery, because even his own doctor is referring him to another doctor out of state who has more experience with this very complicated, delicate heart surgery. So please also pray, obviously, that the great physician, Jesus Christ himself, will not only guide the surgeon's hands very meticulously and carefully as the surgery is performed, but that he would raise up Mike Gadosh from that hospital bed stronger and more physically healthy than ever before, and more importantly, even more spiritually healthy than ever before as an ambassador for Christ as a result of this trial that he has been through and continues to face at this moment. So please pray for Mike Gadosh of solid-ground-books.com. We are now back with our friend and our guest today, Dr. Tim J.R. Trumper, founder and president of From His Fullness Ministries. And we are discussing a reformed outreach to the unchurched, introducing the international outreach publication The Way, or El Camino, in Spanish. And our email address, if you'd like to join us on the air, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we have a listener. Let's see here. We have Christopher in Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who asks, in your experience as a missionary, a minister, and an evangelist, have you received more hostile response towards the true gospel from unbelievers or from anti-Calvinists?
Well, we are so blessed in the West, really, to receive so little persecution. But that's not necessarily all to be seen as a blessing. It can be just widespread indifference. The negative responses I recall have been, on the one hand, in churches from those who have been touched by the Holy Spirit and really react negatively to what they've heard. I remember preaching the gospel in London on one occasion, and a man walked out of the service at the end, and he dragged me to one side, and he pointed at the pulpit, and he said, these sheep may take that, but I'm not taking it.
Wow.
And actually, I was really encouraged by that response, because I went to that service quite disheartened that I was preaching the gospel in an itinerant capacity during my student days, and saw little fruit for it, and little reaction, positive or negative. And so the Lord used that reaction to encourage me that people are listening, that people are responding, whether verbally or not. Another instance comes to mind, being involved in friendship evangelism in a country in the Middle East, and giving a copy of the New Testament out in a restaurant. And somebody took the copy of the New Testament to the back of the restaurant to somebody in the kitchen, and he came chasing me down the street with a knife in his hand.
Wow!
a Muslim. So there are different responses, and I would say in that regard that I've seen more response, negative response or hostile response from religious people, whatever their religion, than non-religious people. I think some non-religious people are actually quite intrigued as to why somebody would be a Christian in this day and age, and it gives you an opportunity to just speak and give a reason for the hope that lies within you, sometimes without interruption.
Great. Well, thank you, Christopher, in Suffolk County, Long Island. Keep listening to the program and spreading the word about it in New York and beyond. We have Bob in Hartsdale, New York. And Bob asks, what are the most significant stereotypes that you need to overcome regarding the doctrines of sovereign grace when attempting to minister to those not only locally in the United States, but also abroad?
Well, I think in terms of the Western world, pride is the great obstacle to the doctrines of sovereign grace, because it so puts an axe to the root of our pride. The thought that we cannot be in Christ unless we are called, chosen before the foundation of the world, called in Jesus Christ, united to Christ by the Spirit, so that we come to the conclusion, as the Scripture says, that salvation is of the Lord entirely and fully, and not of us, either partially or at all. In terms of ministering further afield, I find that there's not really much hostility. In fact, I've been in conversation recently about our mission trips to Africa next year. And the Africans tend to say, well, whatever your theology is, we affirm it. And you sort of raises a bit of a red flag. Yeah, so I said, well, do you know anything about the Reformed faith? Because that's what I'm going to be teaching through the Scriptures. Well, no, we don't actually. But we're willing to listen to you. I said, okay, well, if you're content that that's what I'll be teaching, then I'm more than willing to come and teach it. So that's exciting, actually, to come into situations where they don't have a knowledge of the Reformed faith, they don't have the background. So much of Africa is watching the Trinity Broadcast Network, and that's all they've been exposed to. So the opportunity to give another perspective on the theology of the Scriptures is very welcome.
Amen. Let's see here. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who says that I have many friends in the charismatic and Pentecostal movement, and a number of them are very sound theologically in spite of my differences with them, so I am not intending to slander them in any way, shape, or form. But I have heard the man that you have mentioned earlier, Conrad Mbewe, on Chris Arnzen's show. Mm-hmm. Conrad Mbewe has said that the charismatic movement in Africa makes the charismatic movement in the United States look like child's play because of the severity of the dangers involved in the African form of the charismatic movement, which even mixes pagan animism and other types of witchcraft practices with the charismatic faith. I was just wondering what your personal experience has been in regard to charismatics in Africa.
Well, when I've been to Africa, I've been ministering in Reformed churches, but I'm due to go to Kenya in August and September, and one of the courses I'm teaching to pastors from South Sudan is African church history, and it's been very illuminating because as Christianity has spread in Africa against the backdrop of the traditional religions, the Africans have often been faced with a choice of turning to Islam or turning to Christianity. And as the commentators note, sometimes they sort of form a syncretism between the traditional religion and Islam, or the traditional religion and Christianity. So, you know, Dr. Mberwi is an authority on what's going on in Africa, and I can firmly understand why he is concerned about the extremes on the African continent and seeking to expose those through the proclamation of the word. Because there are some really outlandish things going on which bring the Christian faith into disrepute. It's interesting that last year was the first year on record that there are more Christians in Africa, broadly defined for sure, than any other continent in the world.
Wow. Even North America.
Yeah. 631 million, broadly defined. So I think there's 277 million in North America. Supposedly 571 million in Europe. Now, again, I want to stress that that's broadly defined. That would involve Catholics. That would involve all sorts of different traditions which we wouldn't agree with. But it is interesting to note the phenomenal growth of Christianity in Africa over the last century through much persecution. But by the same token, there's a huge need for biblical teaching. There's a huge need to promote the gospel by means of the scripture, the word and the spirit, rather than carnal tricks and so forth, and syncretism of traditional religion. And when I've been in Zambia, they've been wrestling with this, because when it comes to a wedding, for instance, you know, how much of the wedding is Christian and how much is the pressure from the families to bring in traditional African religion elements into the worship. And I think the reform movement in Zambia has been trying to work to distinguish Christianity from the traditional religion. So I would very much defer to Brother Conrad's perspective on that.
Now, having said that, I would assume that there are benign, innocuous, cultural, ethnic traditions that Christians may freely import into their wedding celebrations and other things that do not in any way violate a biblical principle or introduce some kind of idolatrous or pagan aspect into the celebration. There, you know, the typical wedding ceremony in the United States, I'm sure there are things that we don't even know about that may be behind the symbolism that are purely of cultural or ethnic import rather than biblical. But if you could comment on that.
Yes, I think that's very important to say, Chris. None of us work out the Christian faith in a vacuum from our own cultures. And it's one thing for us to say, well, the African church has this struggle of operating Christianity outside the culture of traditional religion. But we have our own blind spots as well. And it's also been difficult for missionaries to know what is culturally neutral and what is a biblical principle. So in preparing for this course on African church history, I've been reading all about how the missionaries struggled to know what to bar from traditional African religions and what to simply let go. So, for instance, there was a practice when an African bride got married to sit on the lap of her father and to sit on the lap of her mother as a symbol of her dedication to her parents, that although she was going to go out and get married, she was always going to honor the family from which she came. And there were some attempts by missionaries to curtail that tradition. Well, that's something that's morally neutral. And
actually, it's kind of beautiful, if you ask me.
that's right. And to give another example, the missionaries struggled with the concept in Africa of circular homes, because they came from European homes that were rectangular. And the chief, in this particular instance, tried to explain to the missionary, we have circular homes so that there is no near and far to our family relations within the house. We're all together. But the missionaries were frowning on the circular homes because it wasn't part of their culture.
Now, how long ago was this, this protest to circular homes?
Well, this would be in the last centuries.
Okay. That's a bizarre thing to protest.
Yeah, so, but we can sympathize with the missionaries in some senses. They were working out missiology on the field in real time. And so it's easy for us to look back and say, what were they thinking? But if we went into virgin territory to spread the gospel, unaware of the blinkers that we have, then we might make some of the same mistakes. But I think the lesson for us is to be very well aware that each of us has our own cultural packaging of the Christian faith, and to keep bringing our traditions back to the light of Scripture.
Excellent. We have, we have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, I don't want to take you too far afield of your topic today, but I was wondering what your eschatology is. The reason I ask is because I think that the optimism versus pessimism of one's eschatology may affect his outreach globally.
Well, that's a good question, John. Well, with regard to eschatology, whether one is pre-mill, one is a-mill, one is optimistic a-mill, whether one is post-mill, that does, I do agree that that does affect the confidence with which you spread the gospel. But the bottom line is we have a great commission. The bottom line is that there are people groups yet to hear the gospel. The bottom line is that it has been given to the church to go and reach forth with the gospel. And so in some senses, I hang loose to eschatology in that sense. Whether I am optimistic about the ability of the way to reach the unchurched or pessimistic about it, my confidence as a Calvinist is that God has a people out there. He's going to save them. And he uses means to do so. And I want to be part of that obedience to the Great Commission. I heard many years ago now, back in Wales, an elder praying in a prayer meeting, asking God to draw out his elect from the town. And that really struck me at the time, and it's a prayer I've adopted, that wherever we are, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our towns, our nations, that God would draw out his elect, and he's going to do it. And I think that is exciting, whether we are in an area of the world where there are many elect or not. And we just keep our eyes open for what God is doing and faithfully sow the seed of the word and watch out for the seed that falls on the good soil and brings forth fruit 30-fold, 60-fold. 100-fold.
Amen. What you're saying reminds me of an Arminian, or should I say a predominantly non-Calvinistic denomination, who has developed a notorious reputation of yanking people off of the mission field prematurely because they are impatient as to the number of salvation cards signed, altar call responses, and all that kind of thing, things that Reformed people typically don't do. But it shows you that that historically, anyway, I mean, things may be turning around for the worse, but historically, Reformed missionaries and those that have sent the missionaries have been more patient with them because they trust in the very thing that you have mentioned, that the elect are from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And therefore, even if this is virgin territory where a missionary is being sent, meaning that it has been unevangelized adequately and has very little gospel presence, and there is much opposition, especially initially, to the missionaries' endeavors, they are typically more patient because the fruits that are born from that, the increase that is given from the planting and watering, the increase that God brings about may not even happen within the lifetime of those missionaries.
Exactly. Yes, you look at the movers and shakers at the beginning of the modern missionary movement. I think of William Carey, you know, my only genius is that I can plod.
Right.
You think of Henry Martin, men who went to the mission field and saw very little fruit during their lifetime, but they laid a foundation for what was to come. But I think, especially in our age of celebrity culture, where we don't necessarily want to be the people digging up the soil, we don't necessarily want to be the people sowing the seed, we want to be the reapers, because the reapers get the glory. And at least from a supposedly human perspective, well, a human perspective, a fleshly perspective, but I think it's the body of Christ working together, some planting, some sowing, some reaping, and we just need to be faithful and patient too, like you say.
Amen. We have... let's see here. We have Terrence in West Islip, Long Island, New York, who asks, when you do your global evangelism, is it often done to the English-speaking individuals in those foreign countries, or are there interpreters and translations of written material?
Yes. Well, we're blessed to be able to speak the English language since it is in the 20th and 21st century is the global language, rivaled by Chinese, of course, or Mandarin, and Spanish as well. But English enables us to go so many places. But a lot of the time I work through translators. That requires good translators. Sometimes it's a little bit frustrating that you can't express yourself as you would like to express yourself, and you don't necessarily know how the translation is coming through. But it's a very manageable way of communicating, and it's a privilege to do that. The instance that sticks in my mind was actually preaching in China, mainland China. And I didn't have one translator, I had two translators. And I thought, if ever I'm going to get caught in a heresy trial, this is going to be it. Because I was preaching my sermon, then it was translated into Mandarin, then it was translated into the local dialect. So I don't know what's coming out the other end, but I just started off Orthodox.
So, were these Christian translators?
As far as I know, yeah. As okay. Far as I know. Yeah, but you know, it is a manageable way of going about things, and it's certainly better than nothing.
If I may give
another illustration.
Yeah, sure.
Something that was really exciting. A year or two ago, speaking in Turkey, and the course I was asked to teach was biblical theology. But they didn't have the term for biblical theology. And so as we made our way through the week of 20 hours teaching through translation, these young brothers, enthusiastic brothers, were putting together a theological dictionary in Turkish of the terms that were coming out as we were doing the course. And I hope that gets published in in time to come for the sake of the Turkish church.
Wow. We are, in fact, going to be interviewing for the second time a missionary in Turkey who writes under the pseudonym James Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking forward to that, and I'll make sure I let you know about that when we have that brother back on the program. Well, we have time for one more question, I think. Let's see here. We have Christian in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania. And Christian asks the question. Let's see, it's a very long question. I want to try to mentally edit some of this out here for us. Let me see here. I typically give away to unbelievers a very popular and excellent booklet called Ultimate Questions. And I was wondering if you recommend this booklet as well, and if you have other things to recommend that are quick and easy to read and inexpensive to purchase in great quantities.
Well, I think Ultimate Questions is the go-to for those criteria.
That's by John Blanchard, who has written a number of booklets of similar size on very important issues. But that's the primary one about the gospel and about all things that are important, really.
Well, the value of it is that it's in so many languages now, and it is attractively produced by Evangelical Press. It's something that we have in the first edition of The Way, and in the second edition issue of The Way, we're promoting John Blanchard's booklet. It's a long time now since he produced that. I've used it going back to 1994, 1995, studying in Germany, and used it in what we call a Sprachtandem, whereby you have a partner, and the partner is learning English and you're learning German. So I suggested Ultimate Questions as a way in which we could do that. But the one hang-up I have about Ultimate Questions is that it goes into so much about creation. I think when you come to Acts 17, Paul is very adamant that God created the heavens and the earth. And personally speaking, I don't have a problem with believing that God did that in 6 days. 6 days as we count them today. I don't have a problem with that, on the understanding that what he created was created in a state of maturity. But when it comes to outreach, and that partner relationship ended when we got to that bit about creation. Not so much about the creation itself, but the fact that it took 6 days to do it. But when you come to Paul's presentation of the gospel to the Athenians, he doesn't go into how God did it. It's the that which demonstrates that man is accountable to God. And so I personally would recommend not making the length of the process in which it took God to create the world a major point in evangelism. What is critical is that God created the heavens and the earth.
By the way, I do have another booklet to recommend, but it's currently out of print. But Todd Jennings, one of the owners of CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, he wrote his own booklet called The Big Picture. Joel Beakey actually wrote a wonderful commendation for it. If you keep going to CVBBS.com and prodding Todd Jennings to get that back into print, perhaps he will do so. But they have already sold out of all their copies. It's a similar size and expense of the Ultimate Questions. But we are out of time now, Dr. Trumper, and I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your contact information. I know that the From His Fullness website is fromhisfullness.com. That's fromhisfullness.com. And the Little Farms Chapel Orthodox Presbyterian Church website is littlefarmschapel.org, littlefarmschapel.org. And we might as well give a plug to the Seventh Reformed Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's 7thref.org, and 7th is spelled with a number, 7thref.org. Do you have any other contact information that you care to give?
Yes, to sign up for The Way, all you need to do is send me an email at fromhisfullness@mail, not Gmail, just mail.com.
fromhisfullness@mail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Trumper, for being our guest today, and I look forward to your return as a guest. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who wrote in questions. Please remember to listen tomorrow when we have Dr. Stephen J. Wellum back on the program for part two of The Son of God Incarnate. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.